See, that whole 12-day of Christmas song has totally eluded me this year because I've been listening to the Hawaiian version this year, and I'm stuck on five great big pigs. I like that. It's very good. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Gospel of John starts with language of creation, of a new beginning. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." From the very beginning, John says, the Word, Christ, Logos, was already there. But just as in the creation story in Genesis, God is up to something new. The Word is here, and it's created from the beginning of time. But as you go through the rest of that wonderful poetic beginning of John, God is up to something fundamentally different. John says, and this Word, this pre-creative power that was with God, became flesh, this stuff, and dwelt among us. It's the pinnacle beginning of John's gospel. It draws us in to what God is up to in the world in a new way. God not only has this ethereal Word that seems to be floating off in space along with all of the primordial soup, but God is actually made flesh in it. Not just like us, not just sort of appearing, but becomes one of us. God makes a new beginning. Well, this being January 2nd, we are all about new beginnings and good intentions, right? Most of us, it's sort of a practice among a lot of us that we begin the new year with resolutions. You know the kind. This year, I will stop eating cookies. This year, I will do the obligatory 1 hour of exercise every day as recommended by my physician. This year, I will come to church every Sunday to be filled with the love of God. All kinds of resolutions. When people ask me what my New Year's resolution is, I tell them the same thing every year. I gave it up for Lent. There's all kinds of good intentions at this new beginning. We hope for the best. And we look to all kinds of resources to help us achieve those new beginnings and those wonderful, great intentions. In fact, this last week in the newspaper, it was full of interesting predictions. Now, of course, you know, toward the end of the year, if you want to watch a news program and see news, you can't, right? Because every program is the year in review. Oy vey. Do you ever notice it's never a year of all the wonderful things that have happened? It's always the year in review for the depressed, right? And it's all of the terrible things that have happened over the past year. And if you're into celebrities, who married who divorced who had a baby by somebody else, we don't know, who's not even sure if they're an alien. And then you also have all of the images, one of which sticks in my mind most clearly is that of a pelican covered in what looks like chocolate pudding from the Gulf oil spill. Two little nostrils to breathe through. The year in review. And from that, then we also draw out those wonderful articles about predictions for 2011. Did you read the paper this week? It was great. It was wonderful. either this is going to be the best, on the one hand, it's going to be the best economic year we've had for a long time and the recovery is well in hand, or it's all going to hell in a handbasket. When I read my favorite was the religious predictions, right? Where do they get these people? One article said, it's clear that over the next few years, we're going to see the continuing decline of Christianity into nothingness. And the other person said, we're going to see an increase in the undue influence of Christianity in politics. Which is it? We're going to decline to nothing, but we're going to be really influential. Another person said that the growth of Islam will mushroom over this next year, and the other person said we'll see an incredible rise in anti-Muslim sentiment around the world. And another one once again talked about how religion will become increasingly irrelevant, and another person said religion will become increasingly irrelevant. It was the only one that agreed. All of our predictions about the future miss one ingredient. And John tries to tell us about it. As we look to this future, this new beginning, the one element that we need to pay attention to is not so much economic indicators or the trends in religious relevance, or my favorite for this year was people lie about how often they go to church. Did you read that one? Right? Americans are particularly, we're big fat liars, as my kids said. Turns out that Americans say that about 50% of us go to church pretty often. Turns out only half of them were telling the truth. So not only do we not go to church, we lie about it. So much for the moral fiber of our country. But what we miss in the middle of all of that is the presence of the Word made flesh. That's the ingredient in this new beginning that maybe makes the most difference. The other thing that we do at the beginning of the year is plan. Every congregation that I've ever been a part of in January makes the plan. I think we should have them framed. The plan. Sometimes it's a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 20-year plan. We have the plan. And we look up all of the things that we need financially, and we have all these great intentions for ministry, and we put them all on big sticky sheets, and we put them on the wall, and then put yellow sheets on those. Thank you, Olivia. And we get it all planned out, and it all looks great. And for 25 years, after all of that planning, I end up asking the same question. Where's God in the middle of that? I see the budget. I see assets, liabilities, intentions, gifts. You know, you turn the paper over. Are you back there, God? What we miss in our new beginnings is starting with the Word made flesh, that dwells right in the midst of us. I think that's what's missing in all of the predictions about this coming year. It's what's missing in our own good intentions and resolutions, is the recognition that God is loose in the world and present in the world and doing good with or without us. And that our job is to figure out how to do that good with God. God will be present in the world whether we like it or not. And here's the secret. God doesn't really need us to do that good. God wants us to be that good in the world. If we start our New Year's resolutions with the intent of John to make known the Word made flesh, and to live out that reality as if it were true, and to tell people about it, we may be on the right path for a new beginning that has more substance, more legs than a promise to exercise daily for an hour. And the beautiful thing is that we've already been given the resources for everything that we need. So often congregations begin with the idea that we don't have enough. We can't do this program. We can't initiate this idea. We can't move forward in this area because, well, we don't have enough money or enough time or enough people. Mostly it's because we don't have enough interest. But God's already given us everything we need. If we begin with God's abundance in creation, that in the beginning God made the Word and light and earth, and that God has poured that out on us, we begin with abundance. And then we feel free to pour that light and life and energy and excitement out on the world. It's a new beginning rooted in the age-old promise of God, that the Word has become flesh and lives in and around and through every one of us. That in communities and churches and places far and near, God is fleshy and doing stuff and being God in every moment. It doesn't all depend on us or on you. But God is calling us to become light for the world. So we make a new beginning. In that beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, a child in a manger, a Christ on a cross, a risen Lord, a present Spirit. God is loose in the world, and we are a part of it. And may God bless this new beginning, that we might share it with generosity and courage and abundance, and most of all, with the hope of a God who says, I will be with you always till the end of the days. Amen.